Today's Resurrection Day. But really, every day is Resurrection Day. Why do I say that? Because every night you and I lay down and we go to sleep. Some people don't wake up. Some people don't get up. Resurrection means to stand up again. That's what the word means in the Greek. Anastasia means to stand up again. So really, we experience resurrection every day. And we need to give God thanks and praise if we're in the frame of mind to understand that God, who laid us down last night, woke us up this morning and started us on our way. I won't be long. I want to speak to you about the resurrection. You say, I already know about the resurrection. Do you? Do we? Do we? Will we ever fully understand what God did, what he's doing, and what he's going to do through the power of the resurrection that is living in us? Jesus was born in a world, as we just was so wonderfully blessed by Sister Jessica's testimony. He was born in the land of Israel. He was born into a world, and I was trying to get my mind around the world that he was born into, because you and I have been hearing the gospel. Some of us been raised in church since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. All we'd known is church. But the world that Jesus Christ was born into was full of death, hopelessness. There was only hope. Imagine this. There was only hope in one nation of the earth that Jesus was born into. One nation, Israel, period. Why? Because that's where God was on display. That's where he was moving, through the prophets that were waiting for their Messiah. There's only one nation. Everywhere we look, the Christian church is in every nation right now. Every continent, the church is represented. Hope is everywhere through the preaching of the gospel. But when Jesus Christ was born, death ruled. Israel was filled with, when Jesus came, there were lepers, demonized people. There were sickness and disease of every sort, you name it. The world was in chaos. No hope anywhere. Much like, in some ways, the world we live in today. Because when we look around and we see Israel, for instance, and the problems that they're having, they're fighting with the Palestinians. They say the last time that there was a full-scale war was with Lebanon in 2006. I remember that. You've got Russia going in and committing genocide in Ukraine. Unprovoked. And we are living in a generation where we are so used to see people dying that when six people get killed in Tennessee and the people go to the Tennessee and to the government and say, you've got to do something. The man said, no, we're not going to do anything. There's nothing we can do. And turned around and walked away. We're so used to seeing death that it's on the daily. We see it and then we get over it. And we move on. China is abusing its Uyghur population. Killing, enslaving. Over in Yemen, the Sunni and the Shia continue to fight the descendants of Muhammad. They continue to fight against one another. At war since 2014. And still it rages. The French are all up in their feelings because someone took 2 years away from their retirement. Those people went crazy protesting. My sister texted me yesterday, said they burned down Macron's favorite restaurant. This is the world we live in. America's been aborting children for 50 years. And then, as I said, these children in this Christian school, gunned down. And when people ask for redress of grievance, when people say something has got to change, lawmakers say, talk to the hand. It was interesting. We were talking the other day I don't know if it was at prayer or one day after church, I was sharing with someone here and saying, the French are in the streets because of retirement being moved 2 years, but Americans can't get in the streets because of gun violence. You know when things will change? When people get in the streets. How was America birthed? It was born when they said, no more. We're not going to be taxed without representation. They did something about it. They got up and they did something about it. You say, Pastor, are you preaching revolution, rebellion? No. But we have the right to peacefully protest in this nation. When they came and threw Paul out of prison in Acts chapter 16, was it 16 or 17? And after they had beaten them openly, Paul said, I'm a Roman. You beat me openly. That's against the law. He told them, you come and throw me out. When they heard they were Romans, they got scared. Paul used their laws against them. He said, no, you're not going to get away with this. But with so much death and dying around the world, as Pastor Moses was just encouraging us, we rejoice in the resurrection of our Savior on the daily. On the daily. Why? Because God is so active in your life and mine more than we know. Jessica just shared how she called upon the name of the Lord. When she was sharing, I thought about the scripture where David said, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. She was afraid. God knows we are all afraid, been afraid, will be afraid. And when you're afraid, Psalm 56 and 4, David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Hey, I will trust in thee. There are more days of fear coming. But we put our trust in the Lord. So this word resurrection means to stand up again. And that's what we're celebrating as we realize that Christ causes us to stand up again each and every day. But he does it for all people. You know that resurrection is for everybody. You know everyone's going to get up again. You know that, right? Everyone's going to be resurrected. But what Christ did in his resurrection was very unique. We celebrate it because for Christ to have died for our sins would not have been enough. If he had just died and remained dead, that would not have been enough for you and I to be justified. Right? Isn't that, well, let's see what it says in Romans. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, speaking of Abraham. The prior verse quoted Genesis 15 and 6, where it says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And that righteousness, it wasn't only written for his sake that the righteousness of God was imputed to Abraham, but also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up our Lord from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses. He was delivered up. He died on the cross for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. So he was delivered for our sin, but our justification resided in his being resurrected, in the offering being accepted by God, and God raising him up from the dead and justifying us through his sacrifice. Anyone could say that they were God's sacrifice for sin and then die a gruesome death. Anyone could say that. There are people every year, this time of year, you know what they do over in the Philippines? You've seen it online. They crucify themselves. There are men who literally, they take knives, nails, and they put in their hands, and they lay down on this cross. You know, because people can't leave Jesus alone. Everybody's trying to be like Jesus. You know, the devil's always trying. He's a copycat. He's always trying to copy what Christ has done. And so these people laying down on a cross. But anyone can die, but only one person resurrected. Only one person resurrected, never to die again. And the resurrection was proof that he was who he said he was. Amen? And that he died to secure our salvation. So Jesus died for us and he rose from the dead for us. He didn't do it for himself. He had no reason to die except for us. And when he rose from the dead, he did it for us so that we too might rise from the dead, having been declared righteous because of his sacrifice and no longer subject to death, all because of his resurrection. Now, we know that. What I want to share beyond that, or what all of that means for us, and Pastor Moses, if you haven't heard his Easter message from last year, go on the website and listen to it. Because he said Jesus Christ came to take over. He came to take over. Amen. So listen at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's become the first fruits. Since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. So, as Paul is teaching the Corinthians about the resurrection of Jesus, he was saying that some were saying that the resurrection has passed already or that there is no resurrection. And he was reasoning to the fact that there had to be a resurrection. We've seen the risen Lord. And we're declaring to you the truth that now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Being the first to rise from the dead, Jesus is like Adam, the first of his type. The first of his type. And the Holy Spirit through Paul, if we look at this, Paul goes from speaking about the resurrection of the dead, and then he goes all the way back to the beginning. And he says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. And so he says that Christ is become the first fruit. Now look at this. Now Adam was the first man God had created. But Christ was the first resurrected man to exist in the earth. And so I got all messed up in my mind. I'm like, wait a second. It's almost as if, well, let me say this. Just as Adam passed death on to the human race, so Christ passed on life to the new man he created. Adam, everyone who was born after Adam was born in his likeness, born in sin. But when Jesus, being the first fruits, he was the first one, the firstborn of creation. He was the first one who existed, who was resurrected. And then everyone after him was like him. He was a new man. He was different than when he went into the tomb than when he came out. So when we look at it, we say this. Remember when God created Adam? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just track with me for a second with this. He created the heavens and the earth. He made the hosts, the sun, moon, and stars. He filled the sea. He made the animals. Then on the sixth day, he said, let us make man in our own image. And Genesis 2, that's Genesis 1:26. Genesis 2 and 7, God said, the scripture says, and out of the earth God created and he formed the man, and then he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being. So the last thing God did in creating man was to breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. God gave them the commandments. The devil used trickery, deception, to cause this man that God created to sin. And then God, when he pronounced judgment on Adam and Eve, he says, "For dust you have come from dust, and you shall go back to dust," because they had eaten from the tree. When Jesus Christ came, and so the devil has man in a fix, because he's using God's own law to condemn man. There's no getting loose from it. There's no getting free from it. And so now man, death is reigning upon the earth, and everyone who comes to life has to die and return to the dust. And the devil is rejoicing. I've done it. I've done it. I've destroyed the image of God in his creation. Nothing can be done except where man would breathe his last and would be confined to the dust. The God of heaven, the God of glory, said this: "I'm going to go down and I'm going to begin to recreate, and I'm going to go get in the dust and identify with man's death. And it, out of the dust, I will rise up. I will destroy death and I will take life, and I'm going to create a new people." A new people is called the Church of Jesus Christ. And what we see is that the last thing God did in creating man is the first thing Jesus did when he created his new church, when he resurrected us from the dead. In John 20, Jesus said in verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them." He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The last thing God did when he made man, Jesus Christ did, that was the first thing he did when he created the new man. The new man. So God, who breathed, his exhale became man's inhale, and man became a living being. When God said, I'm going to raise you from the dead, the first thing he did was he took and blew on them and breathed into them the breath of life. And that is the Church of Jesus Christ. And every person who is part of this new race, this new people God created, all of them breathe his breath. All of them he has breathed upon and caused them to come to life. Is it any wonder then that Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:3, that you must be born again? You must be born again. He was talking about this. He was talking about, listen, yes, Adam became a living soul when I breathed into him in the beginning, but then he died. And now I'm going to cause him to be born again, because I'm going to breathe into him again. What we must understand is this. This is the resurrected Jesus here. This is not the Jesus who went into the tomb. This is the Jesus who came out of the tomb. This is the Jesus who can breathe into dead, dying dust and breathe life into you. And that's what happened when he breathed on them. And he breathed on you and I. And if he doesn't breathe, neither will you. Come on. What baby had anything to do with its own birth? What does a child have to do with his own birth? Absolutely nothing. What did you have to do with your birth in Christ? Absolutely nothing. Isn't that what John chapter 1 tells us? Said those who were born not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, but of God. And to those, he gave the right to become sons of God. So, God started creation all over again at the resurrection. He started the new creation over again at the resurrection. Because after he resurrected, he blew on the disciples. We'll see it as we go further. Let me make sure I don't miss anything here. In the book of Genesis, God created the cosmos first, created man last. But in the New Testament, in the church age, he created man first, and the cosmos are last. You say, huh? You say, for real? Is it? Pastor, better be in the book. You know me. I'll tell you, if it's not in the book, get up in somebody's face. If they can't show you in the book. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was, is, and will always be the first of his kind. He was like Adam, the God-man, the Lord over all creation. The authority Adam and Eve abdicated in Genesis 3, Jesus commands and rules all things by it. We see it here. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll remember that when God created Adam and Eve, he said, let them have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and everything that creeps on the earth. But he never gave them dominion over man. He never gave them dominion over one another. But this Adam here, this resurrected Lord Jesus? No. Go therefore make disciples of all the nations, because I not only rule over this earth, I not only rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, or everything that creeps, but I rule over every person, over every man. My authority dominates. Now, what the difference we just see the difference, as I noted, between Christ's kingdom and the kingdom that God had given Adam and Eve that they abdicated and gave away to the enemy. So let's look at it. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over all the earth and everything that creeps on the earth. God did this on the sixth day, and we see in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see God creating man. When was it? After he had created the earth, everything. He created man last. But look in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ. Now, back here, God created man on the sixth day. Here, the first thing that God does. Do we have a new earth yet? Do we have a new earth? No. You know why? Because God created the new man first. He created the new man. It's almost as if God said, no, devil, what you did, I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to redeem. I'm going to turn everything and I'm going to run it back to the beginning. And the last thing I'm going to do, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth for my new man that I just created. Listen, this is what's going on right now. This is what God. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just about people getting up from the dead. It's about God reconciling all things to himself through Jesus Christ. Everything. Colossians says things that are in heaven and things that are in earth. You say, well, I know about earth. What's in heaven? God knows. We may find out. But Jesus Christ reconciled it to God. If it got out of balance, amen, he's going to reconcile it to God. So here we see, and we see there are different scriptures in the New Testament that verify that God started creating man. He created, Paul calls him the new man. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. God's done, he done something now. He's creating something new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God sent his son to redeem fallen man and started the process of restoration at the resurrection. You say, Who knew? It's in the book. It's in the book. God knew. God says, I'm going to make a new people. And then in the end, remember, God breathed into the breath of life this lump of clay that he made into a man. Okay? But when you reverse it, when God says, I'm going to restore it, he breathed first. Now, well, when do we get our new bodies? Oh, that's coming. But what did he do first? He breathed the spirit of life into us. The resurrected Jesus did that. So that's why you and I are born again. We have a born again spirit, but we're still in these houses of clay. You say, but I don't like this. Don't worry. The new house is on the way. I'm trying to tell you right now. But God had to make you new first. He had to breathe into us this resurrection. When we were worshiping, I forget what song we were singing. And I'm worshiping Jesus. And all of a, I see this in my mind's eye. Jesus comes out the tomb. He's standing up in the tomb. And he turned around and he looked at me and he smiled. It was a smile of victory. It was a smile of dominion because he defeated death. He defeated death. And just like all of you and I have a grave that we're going to meet with, Jesus already been in that grave. And Jesus stands up in the midst of your grave and say, don't worry, you coming up out of here. You coming up out of here. Yes, indeed. That's what John chapter 11 was all about. When Jesus was showing the people, waiting for Lazarus to be dead two more days, waiting for decay to set in, and then going there and calling this man, this dead clay, calling this dead man, him hearing the words of Christ and life filling his lungs once again. Look at Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, it can't help you. Keeping the law is not going to help you. Nor uncircumcision avails anything. Doesn't amount to anything. What is that? What is God doing? A new creation. A new creation. That new creation, God started it. God fabricated it in you and I when he breathed into us the breath of life. The resurrected Jesus breathed into you and I resurrection life. And remember, the Bible says about Christ, he can die no more. He can die no more. We're being raised. We've been raised to life with Christ to die no more. The reason why this world doesn't feel comfortable to us is because we weren't made for this world. It got quiet. Let me say it again. See, because Jesus, when he breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, Jesus is making a new people, a new man. He made them first. Remember, the new creation's coming later. The new heaven and the earth coming later. But we are to realize now that we have been made brand new, and this world that we're living in is passing away. And as new creations in Christ Jesus, we are living for the world that's to come. That's what we've been created for, the world that is to come. What world is that? That world is a world where Jesus reigns over everything. That world, I get up every day and I pray for our leaders. Oh God, grant us humility. Oh God, give us a love for the truth, for righteousness, for justice, for peace. And then one day the Holy Spirit said to me, let me know. You know what you're praying for. Do you know what you're praying for? I was like, well, no. He said, you're praying for the kingdom of God to come. That's what you're praying for. The only place where there's adherence to the truth, to righteousness, to peace, to justice, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus said, thy kingdom come. Huh? That's what we're praying for. And that's what we are made for. This new creation that God, when Christ rose from the dead, this new creation. Remember, the Bible says Christ is the first fruits. You know, the first fruits is the first of the first. To begin to order everything that comes after. So Christ created a whole new man. Ephesians chapter 2, for we are his workmanship created. Created in Christ. Why is it always related to Christ? Because this process started when Christ rose from the dead. He went, look, that which we were confined to, the dust, Jesus Christ went to the dust. He went to our lowest point. And he, being dust, died, and then he stood up. That dust stood up, and the devil said, wait a second, this is not supposed to happen. All of them supposed to stay dead, they're supposed to remain dead. No. Not this one. Because sin has no hold, death has no claim, the grave could not keep him. The grave could not hold Christ. It was impossible for that to happen. So God has created us in the image of his Son. So Christ is the first fruits, and we come after him. But before the bodily resurrection, he has resurrected our spirits. See? He's resurrected our spirits. That's what it means to have resurrection life. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, that if we are identified, we were buried with him in baptism, that just as he rose from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should rise to walk in newness of life. He's talking about our spirit there. He's not talking about the body, physical body. He's talking about our spirit. So God raised us up spiritually. We're born again spiritually, and then after that comes physical resurrection, new heavens, new earth, to accommodate this new creation that God has made. So, God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are good works already established in God that you and I are to partake of as new creations. You can't do it in your flesh. You can't do it by the work. We cannot accomplish it by the works of our own flesh. Why? Because it was created in God. It still must be chosen, though, because Paul says further in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. This new man, on all of this, remember, it started at the resurrection when Jesus stood up and walked out of that tomb. Well, I don't even know if he walked out. Because the angels moved the stone so the women could get in and see. But Jesus, I believe he probably just walked through the stone. Amen. But it's so you see Paul laboring over what God has created, because God did this when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. All of this was created, this work, all of this was created and initiated, came about when Christ was always the plan of God, but the workings of it didn't start until after Christ rose from the dead. God help us to choose what we were made for. God help us to choose what we were made for. Huh? Good works? How about not lying? Not cheating? Not stealing? Huh? How about that? Isn't that what Colossians, Paul says in Colossians, do not lie to one another. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Since you have put off, this is something that's already been done. When was it done? It was done in Christ, but we must walk in the realization of it. We must take it to ourselves and have put on the new man. When was the new man created? When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they became new men. They became new men. Have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Yeah. How vastly different is this new creation than the world? We'll try this on for size. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, black nor white, my emphasis, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Hello? The one and only distinction in the kingdom of God is the image of God. Oh, God help us! And I'm praying because Pastor Moses said it earlier, there's great division in the church over all kinds of fleshly and carnal things. Whereas the only distinction is the image. That's what qualifies. Do I see God's image? Do I see God the fruit? Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. To be able to discern between false prophets and false teachers. Do I see God's image in you? Try the spirits and test them to see whether they're of God, the scripture says. All right, so I've showed you the new creation. In Christ being raised from the dead, and we are all now born of the Spirit, Jesus said. Now the question becomes, if Adam and Eve had never sinned, would animals have died? Remember when God created the earth and he filled it with animals? If Adam and Eve had never sinned, would animals have died? And the answer is no. No. Remember what God said to the animals. He said to them the same thing he said to Adam and Eve. Multiply. Abundantly. Fill this earth. Fill it. That's what he wanted them to do. So in other words, has creation been affected by the sin of man? And that is an overwhelming yes. Yes. Let me settle this whole climate change debate. Climate change is real. And it's been happening for millennia. And yes, man is the culprit. Man is the culprit. It started all the way back with Adam and Eve. Yeah, their sin started causing climate change, and we've been adding to it ever since. Now, I'm having fun with you. Don't come up to me after church and say, Pastor, I disagree with you about climate. Don't you come up to me with that. Yeah, this climate been changing, and it's keep on changing. Read the book of Revelation. Huh? And man is the culprit. Make no mistake about it. However, because what God did for man, God's going to do for the cosmos. Romans 8, couldn't get it all up there big, but here we are. Paul says, for I consider the suffering of this present time that are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Wait a second. The creation is waiting for the revealing, the manifestation of the sons of God. Which means that the new man, the new creation God has created in us precedes creation being loosed from its bondage. You see? But when God created this heavens and earth, he created the world, the heavens and the earth, first, and created man last. But in Christ, he created the new man first. Why? Because all of the creation, the benefit, the blessings of creation is tied to the new man. So when Adam and Eve sinned, death passed not only to all men, but it passed on to the creation. Because this is what Paul tells us, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The new heavens and the new earth is tied to the new man. The new man who came out of the tomb, the resurrected Lord Jesus, and breathed into all of us the breath of life. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors We see it every day. Earthquakes, Turkey. 50,000 people died because of the earthquake in Turkey. There's earthquakes all around the world. The earth is groaning. Amen. If you're my age, I'm groaning. Man, I have to watch it. When I'm cleaning carpet, I call on the name of Jesus so many times. I stopped and thought about it for the other day. I said, Lord Jesus, oh, help me. Amen. I'm calling on him all the time because the creation groans with labors, with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we who have been created in the image and likeness of the Son of God, even we ourselves groan. We groan. Why? We are groaning for this whole thing, this and all of this to be made new. We're groaning for it. This is why I say, look, if you get real comfortable in this life, something wrong with you. Don't get too comfortable because this is not your home. If you get too comfortable, you might like it too much, might not want to leave. Jesus said, but you're getting up out of here. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. But listen at what, so Paul says we groan for that which we were created for. So he says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption. What's the adoption? The redemption of this body. We are new spirits living in an old body that needs to be redeemed. But the redemption of the body is coming. It's coming. But God made the new man first. And all of this started at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ set in motion the renewing of all created things, mankind being chief. The resurrection of Jesus set in motion the renewing of all created things. The resurrection of Christ was not just about taking us to heaven. Wasn't just about that. What he was doing was starting with man, the born again man who would end up in a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. The scripture tells us. All right. And so as I close here with a couple of scriptures, Revelation 21, John said, now I saw a new heaven. Remember, the new man has already been created. Right? I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city. Now, remember, this book is full of symbolism. So you can't take there was no more sea, meaning there was no more sea. You know, when you interpret the book, you can't necessarily do that. But he goes on and says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And here again, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was totally different than when he went in. And Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? And how can we be the bride of Christ unless we are like him? So he made us brand new. He made us brand new. And so it says here, he came down, the new Jerusalem came down prepared as a bride. We are prepared people for a prepared place, for a prepared Lord, a bridegroom. He goes on and says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Note that emphasis on togetherness, that emphasis on God wanting, I'll never get over this as long as I live, that God wants me. Oh, God. So when Jesus said the Father loves the Son, talking about the Father's love for him, Jesus then turns to us and says, the way the Father loves me, he loves Oh, God, and that love is an eternal love. And Jesus raised us from the dead that we might know the love of the Father forever and ever and ever. That's why Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, God. Oh, look, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither is it into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have all passed away. This is what we were created for. This is what the new man that was created in Christ Jesus was created for. And it started when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I'm telling you, the resurrection is not just about people getting up from the dead, because, look, sinners are going to get up from the dead. No, it's the full culmination of it is God making all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are faithful and true. All right, so this is where we started. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death. Now remember, spiritual death happened before physical death here. But death nonetheless, right? And so spiritual life came during the time of the spiritual life that we receive has come before the new body, the new life that we're going to have in these bodies. We're resurrected spirits who are living in bodies that have not been resurrected yet. That's why sometimes when you're worshiping and you think you can hit the high note, your spirit can hit it. Come on, Melody, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, your spirit can hit it, but this resurrection, y'all hear me up here cracking and carrying on. My soul is soaring and flying, but my body said, not so quick, son. But the day is coming. The day is coming. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Okay, let me close with this last scripture, Colossians 1:19. Let me tell you something. Look. I can't tell you all about this now because I don't understand it really, but I feel it. I feel it because I see it when Jesus prays and he talks to his Father. This love that we're in is a love between a father and his son. It's a love like no other. It's a love where there has never been contention. There has never been a disagreement. When the Father brought about, thought about the work of redemption for fallen man, the Son, yes, Father, total agreement. No disagreement whatsoever. We have no idea what that's like. But that's where... When Colossians, I believe it says that God has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The Son of his love. Look, forever, for all of eternity, God's going to be revealing to us how much he loves his Son and how much the Son loves the Father. And we're going to be totally overwhelmed and immersed and drowning in overwhelmed with this love, if you will. For it pleased the Father. You notice that doing for his Son, it always pleases the Father to do for his Son. And it always pleases the Son to do for his Father. So Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. And God said, yeah, I've glorified it and I'm going to glorify it again. And then Jesus said, well, glorify me when you glorify yourself. And let them see the glory that I had with you before the world began. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all the fullness should dwell. I know some fathers who want to outdo their sons. Ooh. I know some fathers who be like, hey, you still know who's number one, right? Like, keep it real. No. The Father, it pleased him that the Son should have all the fullness. And by him, by Jesus Christ, listen, to reconcile all things. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The resurrection is about the restoration of all things. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we worship you. We bless you today. We thank you, oh God, for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, not only to wake up this morning, giving us strength, oh God, to go about our day, finding ourselves in our right mind. All these years, Lord, your faithfulness has carried us, has sustained us. Lord, kept, oh God, Kweku in Ghana all that time, and Mommy. Kept, Lord, the Dombos in Israel amidst all the danger. Kept us, oh God, each and every day, Lord, as we've lived our lives, Lord, and we have had no idea of the danger or the death right around the corner that you, oh God, has delivered us from. Oh, Father, we thank you that resurrection life is our portion in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that which you've created us for, Lord, and we eagerly await the adoption of sons, that is the redemption of our bodies. Lord, all things being made new. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to keep a perspective and our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, the one who has given us new life and caused us to live forevermore. Help us to be faithful to you, O God, all of our days. Let your word and your Holy Spirit have free course to work in us to bring about that, Lord, which you desire, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen.